very short. Anyone speaking into a microphone, please make sure the microphone is very close to you so that we can adjust the sound properly. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nancy. I've been wired up myself, so you don't see a microphone in front of me, but I am, in fact, close to a mic somewhere here. Welcome. It's a pleasure to be here. The format of these sessions, as you know, we shifted a while ago, a year or so, from the more social kind of interactions to ones in a setting where we could put topics up on the screen, agree in advance to what topics we wanted to get into, and then dive right into them without a lot of preliminaries or a lot of background, and make these contentful and meaningful interactions. So this is real work, and we enjoy it, and we appreciate the board appreciates the time, and we hope that you guys do, and we particularly are interested in hearing from you about topics that are on your mind, and we have some topics on our mind that we want to hear from you about as well. Just a word about the room setup. That turns out to be one of the contentious issues that we wrestle with back and forth. This one is set up in so-called classroom style. U-shaped room would provide much better sight lines for everybody to see each other and far less capacity. And so there's that trade-off, and we've gone down this path this time. I think there's a plan to try U-shaped in Toronto, and then we'll have some assessment, and we're taking opinions. But it's not an accident or an oversight. It's just dealing with the pragmatics of the choices that we have to deal with. Is there anybody in charge on your side? and we particularly are interested in some feedback on your thoughts about batching and so forth. But let's put up all the topics and then organize.
This is Steve Metallis from the intellectual property constituency. I guess I would suggest we've got the three topics on the screen now are the ones that we asked about, and then the board listed four topics, I believe. And I think most of those four could easily fall into the last category, our last bullet, about challenges facing the incoming CEO and the board. So may I suggest that we start just briefly dealing with these first two bullets and then move on to your specific.
Good. Let me just ask, is there another slide that has additional bullets behind it, or is everything on the one slide here?
This is what we proposed, but then what you came back with is not on that slide.
No, I understand that, but I just want to make sure that we're not missing any of the things on here.
Steve, there's one slide.
Flip forward one slide. Let's see what happens. Nope, yeah. You're right. Okay, back up. Thank you.
Okay. Should we just start in on the first one?
Yep.
The impact of new GTLDs on ICANN's constituencies, SOs, and other structures. This is a very lively topic of discussion within all of our constituencies, and I'll just say, since our constituencies haven't formally met here yet because of the scheduling, but we've talked about this a lot. Let me just say, as the head of the intellectual property constituency, a member of that constituency for 12 years, and its president for seven of those years, off and on, I don't think we have ever had a 2 weeks like we've had the last 2 weeks in terms of impact of something ICANN did on our constituency. 2 weeks ago, we didn't know whether there would be four dot brand applications, 40, 400, or 4,000. So we found out on June 13th, and suddenly we have many, many members of our constituency that are either from companies that want to be registries or that are representing companies that want to be registries. And this is a big change, obviously, for our constituency. So I think when we think about these, and it's already definitely had an impact. So when we think about this impact, I think we have to think about short-term impacts and shorter-term impacts. The shorter-term impacts have already happened. But in the short term, and I think it's not very long, we're going to be grappling with questions about whether, that I really think go to a lot of fundamental issues of ICANN's structure. And it so happens that this is coinciding more or less with the 5-year mandated review of the structure of the GNSO. And I think all of our constituencies are in agreement that that right now is not the time to start that review. We need to get a little better grasp on both the shorter-term problems, such as what is the best mechanism for potential GTLD registries, applicants to be heard in this process, whether it's through existing constituencies or in some other way. And then we have the not-so-long-term issues of once we have many new registries up and running, delegated, how is that going to affect the overall structure? So I think the only message we can communicate now is that the impact is going to be huge. It's already started, and that we think in terms of the timing of the GNSO review, let's not jump into that right now. The board has the option, as I understand it, to delay that, and let's at least figure out a little bit more about what those impacts are going to be.
Thank you. Let me just say a couple things just immediately, and we'll continue there. Ray, you're chair of the Structural Improvements Committee, and that oversees the bylaws mandated reviews, and that's what I think we're referring to here with respect to the GNSO. So that's you may or may not want to say something about that, but that's where that decision would be taken, I believe.
Yes, and we actually have been discussing this topic in the SIC for several meetings now, and in fact, Bertrand has taken the lead on that initiative, and so. And we are incorporating it into the criteria that we're putting together for the next review cycle. And it is our intent when we get the review criteria put together, and as I promised, we will coordinate that with the various stakeholder groups. So let Bertrand say a few things about this topic as well.
Thank you, Ray. The difficulty we're facing here is that, and you know how much this topic is close to my heart. The challenge we have is the impact is short term, mid term, and long term, but the agenda is incredibly loaded already with other topics of the implementation of the new GTLD program, and so on. So one of the difficulties is how can we, without overburdening everybody, keep the focus on all the implications that it represents on the structure of the organization and nurture a progressive discussion that can feed, as you said, in the review of the GNSO. But the impact is not on the GNSO only. It's within the GNSO. It's regarding the whole structure of the organization. And in a nutshell, there are tracks that are quantitative and qualitative. There are scaling impacts, like just the sheer number of actors, where they're distributed, and so on. But also qualitative in terms of the nature of the problems or the questions that will have to be addressed and faced. Without getting into the details, what I'd like to raise here and get maybe your feedback on is how to best conduct this discussion. What I've understood from previous interactions with the constituencies, notably in Costa Rica, is that it is natural that the different constituencies, the different stakeholder groups, and the GNSO as such conduct their own thinking regarding what is their impact. It's absolutely essential not to bypass those things, and I heard the message loud and clear. At the same time, it is important to be able to have a more community-wide discussions on the various occasions of the meetings, and I would be very welcoming any suggestions on how we could, in Toronto in particular, have some form of discussion at the community level so that the different groups can bring their own perspectives. Do you have any ideas on this, knowing that, as Ray said, the goal is to insert this mapping of the challenges into the review process,
yep,
so that the review becomes forward-looking and not only backward-looking?
And I have a suggestion about how to start that dialogue. Bruce, and then I'll make a comment, and then we'll turn back over to...
Thanks, Steve. One of the observations I would make about the structure of the GNSO is it's a mix of classes of stakeholder groups and a mix of interest groups. So on one hand, you've got a clear definition of a stakeholder being, let's say, a registry, because it's defined by an organisation that has a contract with ICANN to operate a registry. So that's really just a class of organisation. But then you have other, and then internet service providers in the commercial group, another example. It's like it's a clear class of organisation. We're saying internet service providers fit into that class of organisation. But then we also have interest groups. So we have some people that are more interested in what I'd say generally freedom of speech interests, and they might sit in the non-commercial constituency, or we have people that have an interest in intellectual property protection. And I think we've got a mixture, like the IETF, if you like, is more interest group, so you might have an interest in one protocol versus an interest in another protocol, and what a large company like IBM might have staff participating in multiple interest groups. What we seem to be heading towards here in the GNSO is that we could have a large organisation that is operating a registry, is operating a registrar, is a user of the internet, the business users, has a department that focuses on intellectual property. They might even be a non-profit organisation, and therefore they are in the non-commercial constituency. So you could easily see a large organisation could actually fit into about five of these organisations based on their areas of interest and have different staff participate. And I think that's really the challenge. Are we moving to an interest group-based model where a large organisation might have different staff attending each interest group, or are we trying to define an organisation? And the difficulty with trying to define an organisation is a lot of large organisations have multiple roles. You know, we do have organisations that are registries, registrars, business users, internet service providers. They could be all of the above.
What I want to do is get back on... I took a sort of long interruption here. Very quick.
Just to close off about the discussion regarding the nature of the review. The review is not going to be a qualitative judgment on what's being done in terms of what specifically you're anticipating or how to do it. It's more a measure of what are you doing and what types of resources and so forth you're devoting to it, because the discussions that Bertrand's raising is where the content of that's going to be raised. And so it's from a standpoint of organizational effectiveness. Is the organization dealing with it and is it doing things with it and so forth? Where is the actual content and nature are in the public sessions, for example, that Bertrand was describing? So I just want to make sure that was clear, that the review wasn't going to be analyzing your content.
Good. A thought that might be helpful. You make the very cogent point that it has an impact on each of the constituencies and the structures all the way up. Would it be sensible to ask the chairs of each of the constituencies and the structures above that, the stakeholder group and so forth, to jot down very briefly one page of the sort of thoughts that come to mind about what the impact is likely to be and any tentative, not well worked out, but possible thoughts that would be worth discussing about how to accommodate or deal with that? And then sort of a more philosophical thing. One of my most favorite essays is by J.B.S. Haldane, an early 1900s naturalist, a short essay titled On Being the Right Size, which goes directly to the relationship between scaling and structure and the transformations that have to take place, mostly in biological, in animals, and so forth, but applicable, as he makes the point at the end of his essay, on organizations as well. If you send me the right mailing list, I'll send a copy out to everybody for light reading. It's only about 3 pages or so. So back to you.
Thank you. I think Tony and Marilyn both wanted to speak to this.
Yes, thanks, Steve. Certainly what Bruce said, I think, is at the heart of this, that it impacts so much of ICANN, but in many different ways. And one of the important things we have to achieve when we look at this is to ensure that we maintain the appropriate balance so that the policy development in all aspects is done in the right way. If we don't achieve that, then it leads on, I think, very much to the second bullet on the slide, which is it can be viewed as an internal shortcoming that will certainly extend into some of the external threats that we face. So in answer to Bertrand's issue and also to the point Steve made, we're more than happy to provide that one-page input from the ISPs. But I can say that we're already looking at this in some depth as to not only how it affects our constituency, but on some of the broader aspects of this as well. And I'm pretty confident that we would be in a position to contribute in a more positive way and actually have some thinking that we've developed and can submit into the meeting in Toronto, if that's helpful.
I'm going to introduce another facet of this particular topic. We've been, I think, primarily focusing so far in this conversation on the implications for policy development and on structure. But I'd like to introduce the idea for us to begin thinking about something that is occurring in my life, and that is that I wake up at night saying to myself, the brands are coming, the brands are coming. And what that translates into for business people is a significantly heightened level of expectation before they even get here. Now, I'd like to think they're already here in the business constituency and elsewhere, but they're not here in the volumes that we're expecting. And I do not mean to diminish the interest of the generic registrant applicants in any way, but I also take the point myself that people are going, the new arrivals, if I could think of them that way for just a minute, are going to go through stages. They're in an application stage, and then they're in an implementation stage, and then they're in a more mature stage, and they migrate out of the applicant stage. It may be when we think about the impact of new GTLDs on the constituencies, the SOs, and other structures, that we need to think about a different approach for supporting applicants until they migrate into contracted status. I think there's a lot to think about, as well as and that means perhaps very significant demands on other parts of ICANN, such as in the services staff. I don't want to go into detail on some examples, but I just think it's something that we're beginning to think about very much in the BC, and it is already, as Steve said, the demands on us are significantly increasing as well. And so we have a lot of talking to do, and we may be coming to you by Toronto and telling you that we need more resources in order to play our role effectively.
Yeah.
I just, building on what Marilyn was saying, you know, the brands are coming, the brands are coming. I think they've come. When I look out at this room from this vantage point, it is fuller than it ever has been in my recollection since I've been here. And it's great to see some new faces who I think presumably are from corporations and perhaps their advisors. And clearly I think that the introduction and expansion of the ICANN community with new members from the corporate world is going to greatly strengthen this organization and add to the richness of views. So it's a welcome thing. At the same time, it is going to present challenges in terms of the existing structure and how things should be reorganized, as has been mentioned. But I just want to build on what you said, Marilyn, because I think they're already starting to be here, and that's very encouraging.
Steve, could we just ask if there are brief comments from any of the constituency members here and that before, because we do need to move on to the next.
And you just have any
Christina,
comments?
I think.
Christina Rosette, Vice President of the IPC, and perhaps this was implicit in what Bertrand and Ray were saying, but I want to make sure that I'm clear as to kind of the fundamental, perhaps, philosophy, namely, is it the expectation or the plan or the intention that no final decisions would be made structurally or, you know, final plans or recommendations be made by the Structural Implementation Committee until there was, in fact, active participation by those potential applicants, simply because it seems to me that, well, we certainly can do our best to do outreach to applicants that would otherwise have come from our constituencies to say, look, there are some really important discussions that are going to be happening about participation at ICANN, and those are going to be happening in Toronto, and you need to make an effort to be there. But I also think that there would, you know, have to be kind of corresponding efforts, whether it's using the information that's available in TAS or the like. But it kind of takes me back to the fundamental question of, is the type of decision recommendation going to be made before all of these folks are fully present, integrated, and acclimated?
Uh-huh. Ray?
Real quick, I really would have a problem with somebody saying we're going to freeze the organization in place while we review it. It doesn't make sense. The organization is dynamic. It's living. It's got to change with the circumstances. And that's why I attempted to differentiate between the content, which was what Bertrand was talking about, the sessions where we go through that, and certainly there could end up being modifications and changes made to structure because of that. That has nothing to do with the review of the organization in terms of its organizational effectiveness, about the way it handles it and how it plans for it and allocates and requests resources for it. All of those things that from an organizational body it has to do in order to maintain itself and be and continue to be dynamic. So there's no intent to put a mark in the sand that says here's where we're going to make these changes. If the change is necessary and it has to occur and it's going to be done.
The same thought was going through my mind, Christina, and let me just say the same thing in perhaps a slightly different way. The point that we were making before is that it doesn't make sense to do an assessment until things have stabilized a little bit. Your comment and sort of implied question is it only, can we only make changes, can we make changes only after we do the assessment? And the answer is no. If it's indicated that changes are needed now, then put that together, and that doesn't have to wait for an assessment to be done. But I mean, it's got to be based on some rationale and so forth. But there's nothing that precludes responding to the immediate needs.
I understand that. Sorry. I would just make the observation that at least from the applicants that I am interacting with, I think there would be some very significant concern on their part if they were to arrive at ICANN only to find that, oh, we've just changed all the rules to figure out where you participate. Welcome. So that's a perception, I think. And again, it's a perception issue, but I think it's a perception issue that it's going to be extraordinarily important to avoid.
Yeah. Bertrand?
Yeah, unless there are many other comments. The goal here was to plant the flag and to say this is a topic that the board cares very much about. And to answer Christina's question, one of the objectives precisely is maybe for once to take the issue early enough so that there is time to involve all the different actors, including the ones that are going to come in. One of the challenges that ICANN has in many cases is that the situations evolve, and then comes a moment when decisions have to be made under pressure, and time is not enough to discuss. So I know it is requiring an effort from all actors to try to think forward, but the goal is to precisely bring time so that your concern regarding the full involvement of the actors that are going to come can be accommodated. And I welcome very much, and I'd be happy that Ray, I, and others receive those contributions so that we can prepare together something in Toronto.
So we're deep into this, and therefore we haven't gotten on to other things. Let's pick up the pace. I think we hear you loud and clear. There's big concern about the impact and the need to grapple with that sooner rather than later. I don't know that there's a lot more to say now about that.
I think that's right. This is already happening now,
yeah.
And I think we've had a good start on the discussion, and perhaps we can move on to the next bullet.
Let's do.
Okay. Which one are we going to start?
Yes, move into the second issue. Hopefully now everyone's aware of the external vulnerabilities that we face. Certainly the internet governance sessions that have been held, I think, has brought some of the issues out around that. And all of us that believe in the ICANN model, we've all got some responsibility here. Across the next 6 months, and I would suggest the next couple of years, we've all got the responsibility of making sure that people do understand ICANN in the right way. And how that's linked to internal shortcomings is very easy to sum up. Wherever there are internal shortcomings, it increases the arguments that are going to come against this organisation. So we have to make sure we minimise those. And certainly we had a session before we came in here, and we were lucky enough to have Akram come and join us. One of the points that was made there is that ICANN now has this major flagship GTLD program. And it's a very important part of ICANN, but it isn't everything that ICANN does. And there are some very good things that ICANN do that we don't hear about. Those of us that subscribe to the various links where we get messages and updates, we hear the good news. If you look outside of that, whenever ICANN's name appears in the press, it always seems to carry the bad news, never the good news. So it is really a point of making sure that the shortcomings that happen in every business are really dealt with in the appropriate way. I think the previous issue that we discussed is part of that, making sure that we get the balance, the organisation evolves in the right way with the new challenges. But we do need also to focus on some of the good points, particularly to try to get some better news out there on some of the key issues that have been around for a while. RAA agreements being one of those, and trying to ensure that we tackle these in the right way and carry the message to the outside world is an incredibly important point of trying to get this organisation visible in the correct manner across such an important period that we face now.
And if I could, it's Marilyn Cade. I'm going to call on one of the BC's senior executives who is here, Eric Loeb from AT&T, who has is doing quite a significant amount of work in this external area, and I wanted to ask him if he might say something. I will just note, I know I'm shameless about marketing the BC's newsletter. We did bring copies for the board. It has the Road Ahead for Internet Governance, which has a timeline with some of the interesting meetings, which I suspect Eric may even be referencing in his comments. Eric.
Okay, thanks very much, Marilyn, and Steve, thanks for the time.
Yep.
I'll be relatively brief, and in fact, Tony began this discussion in exactly the right way. I think the external vulnerabilities are well understood, and within the internet governance landscape and the various storms that are blowing, ICANN is and will remain right in the eye of it, and that's just a recognition we all must carry each day. And understand it's not going to blow over, so we have to go out and we have to face it. To Tony's point, it's not just a point here of focusing on internal shortcomings. With any organization, when there is something that goes adverse, it will be creating extra difficulties, and it goes without saying that you work to minimize those problems and correct them quickly. What can be done as an immediate step and where there is room for quick action is that there are positive things that ICANN is doing, has been working on, is continuing to try to do that are not as fully prepared for communication. And I think that we can anticipate, indeed we know the key areas of critique that arise from countries, key stakeholders, and should be fully prepared to raise the responses, both the best view that ICANN has on it, and where appropriate, a recognition of where it is a shortcoming that is being addressed. And a very carefully planned and anticipated approach on this sort of outreach is essential. With whether it's the areas of concern for developing countries, and certainly with respect to all the issues raised with the GAC. I also would recommend particular attention be spent with governments that are critical of ICANN but not participating in ICANN. And in that respect, doing some proactive outreach, meeting with people, trying to draw them in, listening, addressing concerns is going to be just essential. So Tony summed things up well. I'd just add those further views, and certainly the community here is very eager to be helpful in all of those in all of those areas.
Let me just comment briefly. Thank you very much, Eric. In a discussion early this morning over breakfast with the former board members who are here, Fadi listened in and responded, my goodness, we got a lot of stuff to do here, and we better figure out how to get some leverage. I'm paraphrasing. He was more eloquent. But it occurs to me that your efforts and other seasoned, senior, very active and effective people in the community are exactly what's needed to provide the engagement and leverage necessary, that it can't be us alone. So look forward to you know, tightening all that up and having more of that. Thank you.
Bill Smith with PayPal. Yeah, I think that it is up to largely the business community, especially at some of the external organizations. We are the only community who can reasonably participate. So it's up to the business community to put a message out that that there is a fully functioning, truly open, transparent set of organizations that are responsible for governing the Internet. And we encourage participation from all parties. And I think we have a very good message to put out there. And I think we need to be somewhat stronger, perhaps, in the message that this community exists and it will continue to exist regardless of what others do. I don't think that's a message necessary for ICANN to deliver, or say ISOC or the IETF to deliver, but for business, civil society, and others to get out and say, this is where we work, and we are going to continue that, and we are participating in your other these other activities, because that is the right thing to do, and we encourage you to participate in ours. But this is the way the Internet operates. And I think we just need to be a little bit stronger about it, and I think that's a good thing as a negotiating position, because that's what is going on, certainly in Dubai, is a grand negotiation, and we need to have a stronger position, I believe.
Yes, Jonathan Zook from the Association for Competitive Technology and the IPC. I think one danger that we have to really be careful to avoid that comes up in politics all the time is the sort of voting away from the negative instead of toward the positive. And an awful lot of the rhetoric about this model versus the other one is everyone quotes Churchill saying that, you know, democracy's the worst form of government possible but better than the alternatives. And I think we find ourselves saying that a lot as well, which is, wow, this is really screwed up here, but this is better than the alternative. And as we find in politics, that's very seldom sufficient to win the day, and that we need to make sure that we're actually focused on the positives of what it is that we're advocating as opposed to the negatives of what it is that we're trying to avoid, and really talk about the kinds of decisions that come out of a multi-stakeholder process, or even if we change the name of it, et cetera, so that it's presented as more of a positive as opposed to, wow, this is what we're trying to avoid. I think the Churchill quote is overused and is not going to ultimately win the day for us if all we have are reasons that we don't want the ITU to take over this responsibility.
Yeah, Bruce?
Yeah, I think that the message that we've heard from the GAC over the last couple of years has been, you know, the biggest thing ICANN can do for us in this area is truly be multi-stakeholder, truly be balanced in the taking into account those multi-stakeholder views and being transparent. So I think we get that, and we are, you know, all of us trying to work towards that goal. But in addition to that, really just picking up on your comment, Bill, from PayPal, what else do you think ICANN should be doing? Should it be helping with messages from the business community, or is it all we need to do is just focus on our job and you guys will look after us? I'm just that's a little bit of the challenge for us in this area.
So, again, Bill Smith here. So the things that, for me, that would help would be, as an example, how many representatives of governments were here, so that I could, whether I'm blogging or whatever, I could put out a positive message around this is truly, there are so many people from government, civil society, some statistics like that that are, to Jonathan's point, I think are a more positive message about this is what this organization does. Here are the good things that have happened. In terms of the new GTLD process, make sure we don't have more glitches. Right? Let's take a little more time and actually message that. We're doing this to ensure that whatever it is. So ICANN itself could, the corporation, could prepare some messaging. That would be useful. The community working together to ensure that we don't make mistakes, I think. And then another thing is, for me, is getting a message out that both the community and the corporation, and I believe this has been happening, I think that ICANN, especially the corp, has been saying, we are an international organization, right? This is important to the world. And we operate, both the community and the organization, in the global public interest. Get that message out. We can help deliver that. Right? Most of the companies that participate are multinationals. We have people in different places, and that's an important message. And if there's the other thing would be anything that we can do to message into the global south is actually going to help in Dubai.
Thanks, Bill. Just want to mention the lead on the ICANN team, just to let people know, is Nigel Hickson, our Vice President of Europe. And if anyone has, you know, suggestions and help that particularly relate to WICKET, please make your suggestions and offer your assistance to him or any of the other regional vice presidents who are helping to coordinate the strategy. Thank you.
So let me make an offer of what we might do, because so many of us want to speak on this, and I see hands on our side and on the board's side as well. How about if we add a couple of paragraphs to our letter to Steve, and we take this up in our constituencies and come up with some concrete ideas and come back? Because we have said in the past two meetings that we think we are the partner, we think we are ICANN, and we think we are an engine to deliver help because it is our ICANN. So why don't we come up with some concrete ideas and come to you with specifics, including how we help tap the executives from industry and work together on what I would think business is really good at, and that is, you know, doing a campaign and being successful. But we're going to need a real partnership with ICANN.
Ellen still has her hand up.
Thank you. Ellen Shankman from the IPC. I think the importance of messaging matters, but to answer Bruce's question, I think what we also have to focus on and that message is going to go out and it's going to be internal, is getting this right and taking the time to get this right. And I think that as much as it matters to try and couch the message that we send, the getting it right will speak louder than any other message. And I believe that we're here as a resource to help ICANN do that too.
Yeah. We do need to move to other topics. We the board, are very interested in feedback from you about the state of affairs of the GTLD program, the batching, and so forth. So if somewhere here we should move to that. I'd actually prefer to do that sooner, you know, now.
Can we do that, move to the next slide?
Yeah, let's see what the next slide says. So these are questions from us. Let's move to the slide after this. So these are questions related to the GTLD program batching. What are your views on having a single batch, and do you believe there is anything approaching consensus? What is an acceptable time frame in which to do a single batch, assuming that that's the direction taken? And on the other hand, if there's to be batching, do you believe that there is consensus on a method that a method other than digital archery should be used? So there's a trio of interrelated questions.
Steve, could I kick off the response on this? We spent a lot of time talking about this in our CSG meeting that just concluded, but I will also again say we haven't really had a chance to talk about it in the constituencies yet, because it's a fast-moving target. But I think we came up with a pretty good consensus among the people that were there on 3 points. The first one really picks up very much on what Ellen Shankman just said, and that is whatever approach is taken here, it's got to be, the emphasis has to be on taking the time to do it right, to test it, to make sure it's implementable, because the last one screwed up. And we've already spent several minutes talking about how harmful that is in terms of dealing with the external threats as well as the internal problem. So take the time to do it right and make sure that it's as bulletproof as possible. The second point I think we had agreement on is that we're comfortable with the idea of a single batch in the sense of revealing the results of all the evaluations at once, or the evaluations on all strings at once. So there's a little bit of a terminology problem here, but that the public, that should be all made public at once. You know, again, with whatever the time frame, appropriate time frame would be. And then the third, at that point, you have to make a sequencing decision among those that have passed through the evaluation screen, who goes first. And that's, you know, we don't have to make that decision today. We shouldn't make that decision today. And we should take the time to do it right. But we also need to make sure that we're acting in the global public interest in whatever decision that is. So in terms of, you know, which ones are, there will be more than can be processed all at once. That's obviously going to be the case. And so in terms of the sequencing, the global public interest concern should be paramount. We had some specific suggestions about how that could be done. We didn't have consensus on any of those, but we think it is important to take the time to hopefully reach a consensus on those and by having the process, the evaluation done and a single batch, if you will, a single reveal of all of the evaluation status at the end of that time, that gives us the time to figure out the best sequencing options. So that's kind of a quick summary of the discussion that we just concluded in the CSG. I will ask my colleagues if there's any points that I haven't. Yes, the last point was that it needs to be in the global public interest. So I'll ask if anybody else wants to supplement that, or if there are questions from board members.
I guess I would ask, could you tell us how much more granular, you know, we are going to meet this afternoon. Are you looking for something more granular than what we've given you?
Ray, you were focusing on this.
No, that's what you said. It's fine. It gives us stuff to work with. It's what we need.
Bill and that's Steve back there.
So, Bill Smith, PayPal, very quickly. So again, we did not reach consensus on these in our discussion, but so global public interest, some suggestions were things like focus on Global South potentially, IDNs potentially in the early batches, mechanisms that would respond to some of the complaints that we have received from the outside that ICANN is not responsive. This may respond to them, and it is something that is of interest to the global public.
Let me just echo back what I think you were saying, which I've heard in various ways, just to make it very crisp. There's some set of people, don't know whether it's enough to call it a consensus or not, who are suggesting that we have a single batch or, as Steve says more precisely, a single reveal, whatever the internal is. And then the second part of the message is that there are some categories, some subcategories within that one would divide up into IDNs and community strings or geographic strings or whatever, and that those could be, there would have to be an agreement as to what the order is, but those could be put forth in those orders. And then within those, to the extent that there's sequencing necessary, that is still to be determined. And that's the picture that emerges as one possible path to be pursued without having made any decision about that. That caused more hands to go up. So, Judith.
Steve, Shireen and I were at the batching sessions.
Yep.
And we are going to put the notes together and present it for the board.
Good.
And Bill knows I was there. Thank you.
Good. Yeah. So that's a very good point, that we're trying a new process to reflect back what we are hearing in these sessions, and this certainly will be a key point. Steve?
Thanks. Steve Del Bianco. Steve used the expression a single reveal of the evaluation results, and I wanted to ask, won't the applicants be fully cognizant of the results of their eval well before the single reveal day through the interactions they'll have with the evaluators and questions they'll deal with? And if so, would they be permitted to tell their investors and begin to reveal themselves what they know to be the results of a favorable evaluation? And I only ask because the importance of the single reveal was that the delegation, the sequencing of delegations would begin all at once at the end of the reveal. That makes complete sense. But there may well be disclosure of evaluation results in advance of the single reveal.
Yeah, so I think that's a very, very important question, not to be overlooked, too important to try to answer at the moment here. But I think that if such a decision is taken to have a single reveal, that that level of detail certainly has to be part of what's thought through and worked out. Jonathan?
This is really just a quick question that might inform some of the conversations that we're going to go into this afternoon. But really early on in the process, there was this idea that there might be a random selection, and it was shot down because of some kind of lottery rules in California or something. And I feel like that's been later clarified to be an over-interpretation of those rules. Is it in fact possible that if we need to come up with a sequencing within categories or something like that, that we could return to the idea of something that's truly random?
Yeah. It can be examined again. I can tell you that the question of using some form of random method has been examined multiple times by people who said this can't possibly be. Surely if we probe it harder or if we get better talent looking or if we into it from a legal perspective or if we climb up the chain to higher authorities that have some discretionary authority within the state of California or whatever. And the answers keep coming back, no, 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 with a degree of surprise. But that boundary has been tested a lot, not just a little. So I don't hold up any hope, even though my initial reaction was the same as a lot of people. Like, surely we're kidding here. So I don't know. But, yes, we could ask again. And we'll just hold it at that.
I just wonder, since we're almost out of time and you had three other topics that you wanted to get our feedback on, we've kind of communicated our consensus on this. Could we go back to the previous slide and go from there? I think we can walk through these rather quickly. On the RAA negotiations, again, this is something that's been we've discussed in the CSG. I think we're pleased, very pleased to see the staff proposal on the agreement. We think it goes pretty far toward meeting not only the law enforcement requirements, but also, and very important to us, the priority topics that were identified by a joint drafting team of the GNSO and the ALAC. Mm-hmm. So we think it's positive. We think one big problem that remains to be addressed is with regard to who is verification. Will that apply to people who use proxy and privacy services? As it stands now, as we read the proposal, those folks would not currently be required to verify the contact information of their customers. That would be deferred till an accreditation system is in place, and we're quite concerned about how long that might be and how that would be achieved. So we would urge that be moved up as a much higher priority to make sure that the verification of who is data, which is very important, applies to the now 20-some percent of registrants who under the staff proposal, as we read it, they would not have to have their data verified. The other point that's in contention is what incentives would be used to bring all of the registrars into under this agreement. And we think the strongest incentive, though there might be others, would be, as some put it, a carrot that if you signed up to the new RAA for all of your registrations, you would then be authorized or accredited to take registrations in the new GTLDs, and if not. So that's, I guess, the stick part of it. Mm-hmm. We think that's the strongest incentive and one that should be adopted. But I do want to make it clear that we think the staff has made a lot of progress, and we also agree with what we heard from Akram today, that this is a very high priority and something that, in terms of the external world, it's important to reach a successful conclusion on it as soon as possible. The board wanted it done much faster than it's being done, but we are where we are. Let's get it done, and we think the staff proposal has a lot of very positive features in it, although not everything we would like to see, but we think it's a good, very good way to go. Should I just continue on, or should we continue on these other points?
Good.
Did you want to just summarize on the who is? Because I think you did a good summary.
Yes, thank you. On the who is, we've certainly been following that very closely, and I think a number of these constituencies have commented at various phases. We were very pleased with the final report that came out of the who is policy team. And certainly think that they did a really hard and difficult job in an excellent manner. We're fully behind the recommendations that have come out of that work, and we're looking to the board to act on those recommendations. We feel that there is a need to act, and part of that links in with the AOC commitments, that there is a commitment to follow up on this. And we would urge the board to act as quickly as possible on those recommendations.
And I did want to add one point. To the question of what aspects should be subject to policy work, what we discussed is when we say that this is a priority, we know that you interpret that to mean the needed resources and budget, and that may mean additional resources and budget that have been identified. But secondly, any item that is sent to the GNSO's policy council for a PDP needs to come with an assumption that it is to do a PDP about implementation and not a PDP about whether to do it. I think one of the things we see is that the recommendations coming from the review teams should have a special standing? ATRT? SSR? Who is? And Consumer Confidence and Trust.
That's a interesting and point taken. It raises in my mind some fine points about legality. Bruce?
Yeah, the other thing we heard, certainly in the session I think that was in with the RAA, and I'm getting confused about days now, whether it was yesterday or today, but it might depend on the different constituencies. But I suppose there's been two mechanisms being used to get change. One is the RAA negotiations, and one is the PDP process. And then I've heard a number of speakers this week saying they didn't like the RAA process because they weren't part of it. And I suppose the other option is PDP. So part of my interest here was getting a feel from this constituency is, you know, do you want the staff to really be pushing hard and just taking something like the Who Is Review team and just trying to negotiate that with registrars? Or do you think that they should be actually engaging the Genus Own War on this, which actually has all the processes built in to ensure full participation? I think that seems to be just a general tension that's happened over the last 6 to 12 months with an attempt to do things faster in RAA, which doesn't seem to have been as fast as people want, versus actually using a PDP and the concerns that a PDP would be too long. You know, I think that's part of the struggle. It's what's the right process to actually get community involvement in making the changes?
Bruce, what I will say, it's Marilyn Cade. I think we can welcome the question that you've asked and take it up this afternoon and talk more about it. The question of whether our policy-making process is efficient enough is a good question. The question of whether we should have multiple policy-making questions is also a good question. Maybe we need to talk about it this afternoon in our constituencies and over more time, because we can't give you an answer now.
Well, I think we can give, at least from the IPC perspective, a partial answer. We think a lot of this can be done in the RAA. We reject the criticisms that the RAA, that ICANN cannot contract with the registrars to decide some of these issues. We think the Who Is Review team sends a very strong signal about what the directions ought to be. Let's get those things done as quickly as possible. If we can get them done in the RAA, get an agreement, a final agreement done, wrapped up in Toronto, let's do it, and let's put that incentive out there so that the registrars know that if they want to participate in the new GTLD marketplace, they will sign up to these new standards. And we think it's totally within the realm of the board to say a strategic priority for this organization is improvement of Who Is accuracy. That is not a new policy, but it's a priority. And that to set metrics for it, that's some of what's coming out of the Who Is Review team. I've already stressed our concern about whether proxy and privacy service accreditation will take, how will that be handled? Will it drag on a long time? Let's try to find an expeditious process for doing that and put a date certain in the contract.
So, like, yeah. What are the rules for privacy proxies? Is that just a negotiation or is that a community process? That's just an example.
Yeah, well, that needs to be worked out, but let's put a time limit on it and say in the RAA that we'll give that process a year to work, and if it doesn't, ICANN will issue those standards. That's the approach I think we would encourage to really try to come to grips with these issues.
That is also an approach that's supported from the ISP side as well. We think there's a great need to have an expeditious process that really makes ICANN's vision realizable and protects the organisation once again from some of the potential threats that arise if we can't make progress on these issues.
And I just want to quickly agree on behalf of the BC, but if Bruce is asking a longer-term question, we can't answer the longer-term.
Right.
On the RAA, we support.
Good, and Bill's been trying to get in here.
Yep, Bill Smith, PayPal, and as I've been saying, retired member of the Who Is Review team. So I can't speak on behalf of the review team. It no longer exists. I can speak about sort of our thinking behind the recommendations we made. They're recommendations to the board, number one. We expect the board to make decisions about how to implement, okay?
We expect that to be timely, and I think it's good that the board is seeking input from the community, but the responsibility, in our opinion, lies with the board to decide which is the best approach to take in terms of if new policy needs to be developed, should the board put it in the RAA, should it do this? And that's really the extent of my comment is the responsibility is yours. We've done the best we can. You certainly can reach out to any of us to ask, you know, what we might have discussed that we didn't put in reports, but you know, I think you're doing the right thing.
So, good. Thank you very much. Now, Marilyn passes me a note which causes me to wonder about how much I am going to believe what she said. She says we have a 2-minute response on budget op cycle. Want it now or via email? And the question in my mind is it really 2 minutes or is it going to. But I'm being a little facetious. Real briefly, because we're over time, and we'll bring it to a close here.
Thanks, Steve. Chris Chaplow, Vice Chair, Finance and Operations for the Business Constituency and Chair of the CSG Budget and Operating Plan Workgroup. I'll do my best for 2 minutes. I've got a few quick points. Certainly, we support the CFO, Xavier Calvez, on his work and the initiatives that he's put into practice in this year, which is obviously the budget cycle, the FY13 that's just closed, and that's his first year, so there's a number of initiatives there that we support him on. In order for us to be meaningfully helpful in the multi-stakeholder process, we still need another level of detail. In this respect, FY13 budget was the same as FY12 and FY11. So we're asking, let's get together and start for FY14 with a second level of detail. If it's an authority issue, let's ask the Board Finance Committee to give that instruction to go down another level of detail. If it's a technical or a software issue, I don't know what it is, then please, Board, support a solution in that respect. Another quick point, we support the concept, the relatively newly introduced concept of core actions and projects. And a sort of lower level point to help this along, projects, they need to be, the projects that are defined, more than a general title and a description. You know, it would be a big help to have unique identifiers. We should be good at that. So reference numbers, staff member responsible for the project, some sort of targets in the budget, perhaps a link to the wiki of where the project is, because we waste time identifying projects and then finding it's covered somewhere else and duplicates and this sort of thing.
Thank you. Yeah. Good. Okay,
thanks, Steve.
So I think we do have to bring this to a close. Thank you very much. As I said at the beginning of the session, these are organized for frank and candid discussions. I think there's no question that we've been there today. And it's helpful. Rob?
Just extremely helpful feedback. And I think we're coming towards a close here. So I just want to say thank you to all of you. It's great to see the growth in this group. And as Bruce mentioned, the hundreds of new applicants for new GTLDs could potentially become members of the stakeholder group or, I guess, any one of four others possibly. That is going to be, I think, an exciting change for ICANN and also lead to strains on the organization as discussed, but I think overall extremely positive. And I just want to thank all of you for the great hard work you've done to help shape the new GTLD program, all the protections in it, and now moving into the further phases of implementation. It's been a great experience to be able to work together with all of you, and I thank you for all of your great efforts. Thank you.
Thank you. Marilyn, Steve, Tony, thank you very much.